find out how difficult it is as you get in your later years to learn. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I really do. Now, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, and neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Here is Paul writing the second letter to the church of Thessalonians. And he warns them. And of course, naturally, when we look at many of the scriptures today and we look at some of the letters that Paul had written, apparently he felt as though in some cases that the return of the Lord was very imminent. And I think one of the most unique things about it is that when Paul talked to the church, he also strived very deeply, and I believe this is a very important part for ministry, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. See, the responsibility of ministry today is not just to talk to you about the position of truth or just the position of salvation, but is to prepare you. To prepare your spirit, your mind, your heart, and your soul for the coming of the Lord. Because I believe, and this is what I feel as though that when the Lord gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost in the understanding and reliance that one day he was coming. It's important that we understand that those are what, that's one of the main reasons why the Lord gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. He never said to us anywhere when he was coming, but he also talked to us, even the Lord talked to the church about the importance of his coming. And of course, naturally, as we see the days that we live in and the times that we live in transpire the way they transpire, we assume and we look at the timing and we think, well, apparently this must be the approximate time. But you know, I believe that when I look at the experience of the power of the Holy Ghost, and when I think about the experience of the Holy Ghost within me, it's not so much what I see, it's what I'm feeling in the spirit. I don't know if the Lord is about to take the church out or just to take the church through. What I mean by that, I believe that the Lord wants to take the church through before he takes the church out. Because if he can take the church through, there will be many souls that will be saved. And I believe that whether we get through is not really dependent upon the Holy Ghost. It depends upon us. It depends upon us. It depends upon how well we use the Spirit of God and how well we allow the Spirit of God to use us. Some, you know, the worst thing in the world is for us to sit here with the creative power of God's Spirit dwelling within us and not be utilized of God. It's a sad situation that we will not allow God to use us in the most unique ways that He desires to use us. And that speaks to us not collectively but individually. Because if we have the Holy Ghost, there is a certain way that the Lord is attempting to get through to us in some particular and some special way. But I believe when Paul was saying this right here, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind and be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter." In other words, he didn't want the people to be overtaken with fear. Because I find that when people are not saturated in the presence of God, when there's certain things that deal with their heart or their spirit, they become troubled in their mind. They become shaken. I believe right now that the Bible tells us in Hebrews that it talks about a great shaking upon the earth. Am I right? Shaking. And of course, naturally, I believe that right now that the Lord is shaking the church. I really do. I believe that the Lord is really, really shaking the church. He's really shaking the church. And why is God shaking the church? Because the Lord is attempting to get the attention of the church. He's trying to get our attention. He's not trying to destroy us. He's not trying to kill us. He doesn't want us to be troubled in mind, in spirit, or by word, or by letter. He doesn't want that to take place. He wants us to have confidence in Him. And the only way that you're going to ever have any confidence in the Lord is giving the Lord everything that you have to give Him. He wants the church to have confidence in Him. That's why we're going through some of the things that we're going through. Because God is trying to build a church that has confidence in Him. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You don't know how it's going to come out. Am I right? You have no idea. If you could put your finger on it, you would. You've tried and you've attempted in every place of your mind and your thought pattern, your ideas, and whatever you think, you try to put your finger on it. You try to assume. You even try to lead the Holy Ghost in a certain direction, in a certain way, in a certain place through your prayer life. And it seems like as you try to lead the Holy Ghost in a certain direction, it seems like as though God just cuts off from that. You don't know whether He's going to go in that direction or not. You have no idea whether He's going to go in that direction or not. Because the Lord is attempting in these days to gain confidence in the church. See, one thing about God, He cannot fail. He doesn't have a problem with that. See, God doesn't have a problem with failing. You have a problem with that. God has no problem with that. He does not have a problem with the possibility of Him failing. He cannot fail because everything is subject unto Him. So, whatever mountain that stands before you, He can say, move it. But he can also tell that mountain to get bigger and become larger and become more intense against you. But then the Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, said that here what the Lord did. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, if you speak to that mountain and you tell that mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, it's got to move. Your flesh can't do that. Your mind cannot do that. I want you to understand the importance of the gift that God has given us. And I think that this is a very important thing, because you know what? I really believe, I really believe that in the age that we live in, that the church has become so religious, it has lost sight of the power of the Holy Ghost. It has become so religious. We have become just like the Jews. We can line everything up, precept upon precept, line upon line. Everything got to fall in place. But we missed one thing. When the Lord said repent, right? Repentance is a command. Am I right? A man, if he's going to come in the presence of God, he is demanded to repent. He cannot enter into God's presence unless he repents. So repentance is a command. And to be baptized in Jesus' name is also a command. Amen. You are commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is not an option. Now, we know that according to historical positions of Christianity, people have come up and said, well, it's an option. It's not an option. According to the Bible, there is no other biblical way to fulfill the position of baptism, nor to receive the power of the blood in a person's life, except they be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. Who said that? The United Pentecostal Church did not say that. The Bible said that. Those are two commands. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Now, if someone gives you a gift, you can use it any way you want to use it. That's your option. Am I right? But according to what I read in the Bible, the more you use the gift, the more you please God. The closer that you become to God, the more you understand about God. And the more God reveals to you the fullness of his kingdom and of his mind. Hallelujah. That's where the church is. The church, we've become religious. And in our religious position, we have denied the power thereof. Holy Brother Gray, what do you mean by that? Listen, you know where that's written at, right? Huh? That wasn't written in the New Testament. It wasn't written in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was written in the epistle. That it was written to a church that was already saved. We don't need to ignore the power thereof. We need to be saturated in the power thereof. Now, of course, naturally, we come up and we have a lot of theological positions, and you know, we have men and great men and all types of men that have received all types of degrees. And that is that good? Of course that's good. But of course, naturally, the greatest degree we can receive is from heaven. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive an opportunity to graduate to different levels in God. God can take you places that the flesh can't take you. God can do things in your life that a piece of paper cannot do. So I believe that the Lord wants us to be, have our feet on the ground and have our head in heaven. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the substance of what God desires to do in our life. We need it. We cannot do without it. We cannot afford to ignore it. We can, and when I say ignore it, well, you know, so many of us have went by and said, well, you know, I got the Holy Ghost. But what does the Holy Ghost want to do in your life today? What did God want to do in your life today? What does God want to do in your life every day? Because it's never the same what God wants to do. But God can't enter in until you invite him in. That's right. Some of us are afraid of the challenge of God. You know, I'm going to talk to you today. Some are afraid of the challenge of what God is trying to challenge you to do. Why are you afraid of the challenge? What benefit do you have by being afraid of the challenge of God? Do you realize that the devil is out to destroy families in the church as well as he can destroy families in the world? Do you realize that? Do you realize that the devil's out to destroy individuals as much as he can destroy individuals anywhere? We become afraid of the challenges. And the reason why we become afraid of the challenges is because our desires are not in the things of God. They're in the world. We want the Lord to come in and fulfill the world for us. And the Lord, and if the Lord, and the reason why the Lord won't fulfill the world for you, because if he fulfills the position of the world for you, that means that you'll be trapped in the world. You'll be trapped. He came to save us from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What makes us not of the world? The sanctification of the Holy Ghost. That's what makes us. But we can only be sanctified if we take the Spirit of God and utilize it. That's the only way we're going to be sanctified. Because the Spirit of God brings conviction. Amen. And when I mean conviction, it's not always conviction against sin. It could be conviction of going, it could be conviction about taking a job. That's right. It could be conviction about going to the wrong place. It could be conviction about something that you have built up in your own will and your own desire, and God is saying, don't go there. You don't want that. You don't want to do it that way. Because he knows the outcome of what it will do in your life. He knows the destruction that it will bring in your life. But sometimes we assume that if we invite God in, then God will bless. God cannot bless and honor something that is not according to his will. He will never do it. He will never do it. He will let us walk it alone, but he will never walk it with us. Because if God would walk it with us, then when we become to the point of destruction, we would assume, and the devil could come to us and tell us that God destroyed us. Because you know what? That's what the devil is doing in the religious church today. Listen to me, y'all. That's what the devil is doing in the religious church today. In the religious church today, in the religious church today, that's what the devil's doing. The Bible tells me that God desires that no man should perish. Is there any man that walks in that door that is unworthy to come through that door? No man. Is there any man that has been in the pew and sat in the pew that maybe they have committed atrocities? And of course, naturally, according to scripture, if a man gets caught in the position of atrocities, unfortunately, we have to acknowledge it. No, fortunately, we have to acknowledge it, and then we have to discard that individual sin from in the midst of us. Why? Why do we discard that sin from in the midst of us? We discard that sin from in the midst of us because the person willfully desires to get involved in that unrighteousness and that impurity. And so therefore, God is separating and sanctifying the position of the church, that the spirit of that unrighteous individual will not saturate and destroy the body of Christ. And that's why you have to separate. But what about the guy who's struggling, that needs the encouragement of the body, needs the strength? If we read Romans chapter 8, it tells us that every man, or Corinthians chapter 8, that everyone is not equal in strength. You have weak ones. Some people are bounded by their weakness. Scripture tells me very clearly that we have a responsibility to help lift that individual out of that weakness. It talks about when you sacrifice the idols, you know, if I know that a brother's weak, even though I can eat the meat, it don't bother me. I can't eat the meat because Brother Camp say, well, you know, Brother Greg, if you eat that meat, man, that meat is sacrificed to an idol. If you eat that meat, brother, you might backslide. But the scripture tells me that I won't eat the meat. Why? The reason why I won't eat the meat is not because I have the same weakness you have. I won't eat the meat because I might weaken you. That's right. That's why I won't eat the meat. I won't eat the meat because of him, not because of me. Because I care more for him or another individual than I care for my own desire to eat the meat. Because if I eat that meat, then I weaken you. And then there's something where the devil has an opportunity to play with your mind and to deal with your mind and to make you think on the position of legalism where, you know, when all the time when the scripture tells me in Timothy that if I pray for it and eat it, it's good. But everyone cannot receive that. Am I right? Everyone can't receive that. I can receive it, but everyone can't receive it. This is the beautiful thing about the Word of God. The beautiful thing about the Word of God is that you can find no other book that will interpret Scripture. The only thing that interprets Scripture is Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. That's the only thing. That's an important thing. That's one of the most important things when the Bible says that we have to rightly divide the Word of truth. Because if the word can be rightly divided, that means it can be wrongly divided in many different ways. You know, you can be wrong. You know, some people look and say, well, you know, they can tell us about the things they don't believe and the things they do believe. And people can tell me all, you know, people can tell you about being baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They can tell you about the importance of the Trinity. They can tell you this, they can tell you that. And all you can tell them is, well, and they could be very sincere about it. But you can also be sincerely wrong. Amen. Because the only thing that's right is Scripture. And that's why you encourage people to go to the Word of God to find the things that they need. It's very important that the church goes to the Word of God to find the things that you need. You find strength through the knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. That's where I find strength at. Amen. I'll be honest with you. There's no book that I have ever read that compares to this. I compare Scripture to Scripture. Amen. There is no contradictions in this book. There's nothing contradictory in this book. If it appears to me to be contradictory, it's only because I lack understanding in that area. That's why it's contradictory to me. And in God's time, He will bring me to the fullness of knowledge of that particular area. Amen. And how does He do that? Because you desire to have the right spirit. The right spirit brings you understanding, because it tells you, you're saying, well, Lord, you know, it's just like if I created an argument between Matthew 28:19 and then Acts 2:38. I can create a major argument that, and they say, well, Lord, you know what He told them? People have created a major argument over that, but they were sincerely wrong. I've even heard apostolics that eventually come against that and try to create an argument about that. But you know why? Because they didn't have the understanding. And because they didn't have the right spirit, they never gained the understanding. See, the right spirit brings you to understanding. The right attitude towards the things in the Word of God brings you to understanding that you need. He will reveal to you in your time when you're able to do what? Receive it. Hallelujah. Sometimes he doesn't bring things to you because you're not prepared to receive it. You're not prepared to receive it. Then he goes on and says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called of God, called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now Paul was trying to bring something to understanding. He wanted them to remember that this is not the first time that you heard this. I told you these things before. And now ye know what withholdeth, that ye might be revealed in his time. In his time. And the mystery of iniquity does already work. The mystery of what? Iniquity. Now, what was he talking about? He said the mystery of iniquity does already work. He was not talking about today. He was talking about then. If the mystery of iniquity was moving then in the church, how great is the mystery of iniquity today? How great is the mystery of iniquity? How great is it? How great is it today? Don't you see? We have churches that are falling away back and forth, leaning in all types of situations, allowing all types of things to come in, believing all types of things, receiving all types of things, because the mystery of iniquity is greater today than it was at that particular time. And this is why it's very important that we just go back to the basics of the Spirit of God and the things of God and build an establishment. Oh yeah, everybody wants to get into the meat of Bible prophecy and all those things, but you know what? Meat doesn't mean anything if you don't have the ability to chew it. Praise God. And when I say chew it, I'm not talking about whether you understand it, but whether your spirit can absorb it. Because if you know what, let me tell you something. If you really got the meat of the Word of God when it comes to what God is about to do upon the face of the earth, your flesh couldn't stand it. Your flesh could not stand it. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What am I trying to do? I am trying in my own spirit to destroy every indifferent spirit that comes into this place. Because a spirit of indifference will destroy you. A spirit of indifference will lead you in the wrong direction in the wrong way. I am trying with all of my heart. I am trying through the leadership of the Holy Ghost to destroy every spirit of indifference. Because with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, the truth is deeper many times than just what you read. Because in order for you to absorb the position of truth, you've got to have the ability to receive what God is telling you about truth. If your spirit is not right, if your attitude is not right, you cannot receive it. You cannot receive it. You will not receive it. You will not receive it. If you're not humble and contrite before the presence of God, you will not receive it. Do you realize what contrite means? Contrite means a broken spirit. Do you know what it's like not to have any art against anybody? Even those in the world. That's a broken spirit. Sometimes we really have to pray that to reach the position of being contrite. Am I right? Listen, I'm human. I'm in the flesh. People come against me all the time. But there's got to be a spirit inside of me that says, God, forgive them. Certain things don't come against me. I do. I always do. I pray that certain things come against me. Don't come against me. I pray for that. And one particular areas I pray is like with my children and things like that. I pray that God would protect my children and my wife in situations like that because I know that in my own position I could get so filled with anger and rage. The thing is, you have to know yourself. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you need. You got to know. You got to know. Because if you don't know, God can't protect you. God can't protect you, and you become an open door to whatever Satan desires to do. You got to know yourself. So then sometimes in the secretness of my own quietness, in the morning when I wake up and I talk to the Lord and I'm talking in there to the Lord, I'm praying, Lord God, protect my children and protect my wife, protect my family, you know, protect them. I think about my kids getting out in the bus and going to school and different things that they go to and how they deal with the world. I plead the blood upon them, Lord Jesus, keep them. Amen. Keep them. Hallelujah. Strange people come against people, do strange things. We have a weird society, a strange society. My God, I think about that. That bothers me. See, I don't like to be victimized. I don't want to be victimized. I don't want to give the devil an open door to victimize me. So what I try to do is try to keep my spirit in a contrite way when I go before the Lord, that the Lord can help me and I can plead the blood and ask for protection, because I know what's out there in the world. I know. I'm trying to tell people, I don't know why we sit around to wait to pray for something after the fact. Why should we pray? Why am I praying for things after the fact when I can build up a shield of protection before? Why? Why do I wait for that? Why do I wait for the devil to come in and destroy things in my family or do things against me? No, when I have the potential to pray and say, God, help me. But I can only do it in the contrite spirit, realizing that if it wasn't for the protection of God, where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the protection of God? And that's why I come in every Wednesday and on a Sunday. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because I realize it's the protection of God. But you can only maintain that type of protection through a contrite spirit. God doesn't protect the proud, because the proud don't need protection. protects them that are humble. Amen. That's who he protects. And that's where the church should be. We should be in a position that we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us. Because we receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Hallelujah. I want to be saved. And I'm not talking about just an eternal situation. I want to be saved from the conditions of this life. I don't want to be destroyed by the condition of this life. If you're victimized, if the devil and the world can come in and victimize your life, it sets you back. It sets you back. It really does. It can create a root of bitterness within you. We've heard it in the churches before. We've heard it in churches in the States and things that where people were victimized because they lost insensitivity. Maybe someone got killed. Maybe a girl got raped. Whatever. I believe pride brings that in. I really do. I believe that pride, the Bible says that pride comes before a fall. Listen to me, y'all. Pride comes before a fall. That means if you fall, you need to look back and say, what did I do? Where did I go wrong at? It's not anybody else's fault. See, he said pride comes before a fall. It's not anybody else's fault if you fall. No one tripped you up. No one brought you down. If you got the power of the Holy Ghost, the only one that can bring you down is you. Your attitude can bring you down. Your attitude. Or your attitude through the presence of God can raise up a standard to bring you protection. To protect you. Amen. For this cause, God should send. Now listen, for this cause, I want you to understand what he's trying to tell us in Thessalonica, what he's telling to the church of Thessalonica. For this cause, shall God send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. For this cause. Now, I don't think that sometimes people in the church understand really what that means. That means if God sends you a strong delusion, that men cannot pray it off of you. The only one that can lift up that delusion is God. The Bible says that God does not tempt any man with sin. But it does say that God will send a man a strong delusion. Why? Because he chooses not to love the truth. You know why a man doesn't choose to love the truth? Because it goes against the grain of his will in his flesh. And because it goes against the grain of his will in his flesh, he invites the blindness and the darkness of God to come upon him. That where the Lord will allow you to believe a lie. Do you know how many people are sitting in apostolic churches that are believing lies, and their faces and they have been darkened from the truth of the Word of God, and they think there's something wrong with you, brother. They think there's something wrong with you. They think there's something wrong with you. They think there's something wrong with us. Why you act like that? Why do you do that? Because they've been blinded. They don't see the truth. You know, I was thinking the other day about when I went to Israel, right? Hallelujah. I thought about the experience the first time I went to the Wailing Wall. And I went down to the Wailing Wall on the Feast of Oceana. And went down to the Wailing Wall. Man, there's something to see. And here are all these Jews out there at the Wailing Wall just doing like this. Pentecost. showed me something. I thought, well, you know, I heard this before. Now I've experienced it. I've actually seen where Israel is a true typology of Pentecost. As religious as they were, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with shaking and rocking and rolling in the Holy Ghost. It's nothing wrong with it. Hallelujah. I believe that the more you shake, the more liberty you have. Praise God. So when you decide to get up and run, run. Run. And don't let nobody stop you until you've satisfied your position with the Lord. Hallelujah. Because God honors that. You know why God honors it? Because in your flesh you honor Him. You honor Him because you got a hold of your spirit and you can get out there and, you know, I see them sisters get out there on Sunday and start running, going around the aisle. Sister Cinnamon get up and she take her little run. Go ahead, go for it. Enjoy your liberty in the Lord. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost, to enjoy it. Amen. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't bottle it up. Hallelujah. Let it flow. Amen. Visitors get nervous. Oh my goodness, these folks in here done went crazy. Hallelujah. We ain't went crazy. We're enjoying the presence of God. Let it go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Liberty. Nothing wrong with it. One of the worst things I ever could imagine is being in an apostolic church and everybody sitting around like dead soldiers. My question is, where is the power of the Holy Ghost? I've been to a few where they just stood there like this. You know? If you start raising your hands and looking. Amen. Yeah, I preach it. I used to go. Hey, I had said it was that. Sometimes it was that way in Brother Barnabas, wasn't it? Huh? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost started moving. Praise God. And they see me up there on the platform, preacher. Hallelujah. I got it, man. I'm going with the Holy Ghost. They look at me. Some of them out there look at me like, something wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when, Brother Barnaby gives me that platform and that pulpit, they know I got the Holy Ghost then. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. So I've seen it. But this is not a time to have a dead religion. Amen. People don't need to come into a dead situation. If you want a dead situation, go to the Catholic Church. It's real dead. They even got a symbol of death on the cross. You want death? Go ahead. And I tell you what, the farther it gets away from the movement of the Holy Ghost, the less scripture that you hear. The less movement that you see. Hallelujah. Do you know what it feels like to go to a church that you be in and you no longer hear people haven't heard a message in tongues? Do you know we have apostolic churches where people haven't heard a message in tongues in those churches in years? Am I right? They haven't heard a message in tongues for years. In fact, when they begin, if you start moving in the spirit and got a message in tongues, they were saying, oh man, we need to usher him out. It's something wrong with him. Huh? Hallelujah. Am I right? They say, well, we need to usher him out. But see, everything that's done is backed up scripturally. It's in the Word of God. We have to be a lover of the truth. It's in the Word of God. In other words, and because of the demonstration of the Holy Ghost in that manner, what does it do? It gets the attention of sinners. Sinners say there's something going on here that never took on before. It's easy for sinners to stand around a dead situation. It's easy for them to sit there. I want them to feel uncomfortable. I want them to feel uncomfortable. Because if they feel comfortable, God's not dealing with them. Hallelujah. I don't want no strong delusion. I want to be the church. And the church needs to be the church. And we don't need to sit there in a dead situation looking for a dead Savior to bring a miracle. Because a dead Savior can't bring a miracle. The only one that can bring a miracle is a Savior that lives. And He's got to live in you. He's got to live in you. He's got to have His being in you. You got to call upon the name of the Lord and have confidence in the power and the authority of that great name. Amen. It cannot be a religious experience. It cannot be just milked down to that and we all sit around and wait for something to happen. No. You have the power within you to make something happen. Praise God. You have the power to make something happen, not to wait for something to happen. You only had to tarry to receive the Holy Ghost. But after you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have to tarry no more. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But you've got to be convinced of that. You've got to have confidence that you have power over darkness, that you have power over Satan, that you have power over the world. You've got to be convinced of that. But you can't be convinced of it just because I preach about it. You've got to be convinced about it in your spirit. And the only one that can bring you to that understanding is through the power of the Holy Ghost alive in you. That's why so many saints leave the house of God, step out into the world, and fall. Because they're not confident. They don't have enough confidence. Don't you believe God can keep you? God can keep you. I don't care what you did. I don't care how many times you tripped and you fell. Get up! And serve God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. He'll give you the strength that you need. It's not the will of God that any man should perish. It is not God's will. And we have to get that in our minds. And I believe that the church needs to get that in their mind. Because if we don't get that in our minds, we cannot have revival. You know why we can't have revival? We can't have revival without that in our minds, because then the church becomes a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. He don't care who you bring in here. He wants you to bring them. He don't care what sin they got caught in. He doesn't care about what they've done. Our problem is sometimes we care too much. But sometimes, you know what? It's none of our business. What should be our business is that we serve a great God, and that great God delivered me from what I was. Amen. And if He can deliver me from what I was, He can deliver anybody from what they are. Amen. But I've got to introduce Him to that great God with what? With confidence. Not just a religious mode. What if you just do this, this, and this? It's all going to be all right. That is not true. That is not true. If that was the truth, everyone who ever received the Holy Ghost, everyone who ever got baptized in Jesus' name, repented of their sins, and received the Holy Ghost would be in the church and be saved. But you know what? There is no such thing as eternal security. Now you hear me, because sometimes we preach eternal security and it's not true. There's no such thing as eternal security. In other words, you have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. If you're not fearful, you won't work it out. If you ain't trembling, you won't work it out. Because guess what? A scared man works out things. A humble man works out things. You ever get scared in the Holy Ghost? Sometimes I get real scared. Hallelujah. It's not because God's presence will leave me. Because I know with confidence that God will not leave me. but I don't want to fail God. Amen. So since I don't want to fail God, whenever I stumble in, I get back up. I got to wash myself off. I got to use the power of the blood to go forward. Be what God wants me to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Man cannot receive that. Because if man could receive that, he could save himself. But he can't save himself. And God has given you the Holy Ghost. Use it. Use it. Don't let nobody stop you from your experience. Don't let nobody tell you you can't build a confidence with God. Don't let nobody tell you that God will not produce a miracle or do something miraculous or wonderful in your life. He will. He will. But you got to have confidence in him. And you got to be willing to give him everything. You can't hold nothing back. Because you know what? Anything in this world is not worth it. It's not worth it. Where I live at is not worth it. My car is not worth it. My job is not worth it. And the more I didn't know the Holy Ghost, the more I see how worthless everything around me really is. The only thing I got tangible that's worth it today is my family. Amen. But I see how empty the world is. I see how empty it is. I see how involved the world is. I was watching everything today when I was sitting in the classroom and I was listening to the techniques of budgeting and analysts and being a and doing all the things, you know how intricate everybody was involved. I was involved too because I'm supposed to be involved. You know? But they were really involved because that's their life. That's all they know. That's their salvation. That's all they know. And I thought, Lord Jesus, these people are in bad shape because that's all they know. And you know, the Lord said, you don't have to depend upon them. All you have to do is depend upon me. Is it wrong for me to be in the class? No. It's good for me to be in the class. Wrong to get educated? No, there's nothing wrong with being educated. I believe the Lord wants us to be the best at what we do in everything that we do. I really believe that with all my heart, all my soul. Sometimes I find it difficult to put my life and my heart in doing the best. You know why? Because this is what I do best. This is what God called me to do, and I realize it more and more. This is what I do best. I have a unique situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I thank God in the position of talent that he gives me and the understanding that he gives me in other areas to help me do the things that I need to do. But this is life itself. Preaching the word of God. Reaching for the things of God. Why? Because I tell you what, I want people to be saved. I don't want y'all to get caught up in life situations and lose your soul. It's not worth it. I don't want your children to lose their soul because you're so far caught up in life situations. It is not worth it. The world takes no prisoners. None. It is very important that in these days that we are lovers of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth is a challenging situation. It challenges us. It beckons us to do that we would not normally do. To stand at times that in areas and places that we would not normally stand. To react the way sometimes we would not normally react. But God loves us because he knows that we live in a world that is full of lies. If you don't believe it's full of lies, all you have to do is go to the Genesis chapter 5. When you read Genesis chapter 5, you see the whole position of the world as it formed in the flesh. from the family of Enoch. And they began to depend upon things, cattle and houses and homes. That's right. That was the formation of the world in the flesh. We need cattle. We need work jobs. We need homes. But this is not our home. We need to act like we're passing through. Oh Lord, let's stand. Y'all got to go home.